Shalom, and welcome to Progressively Jewish, the podcast that explores Judaism from a progressive Jewish lens. Today, on our theme of redemption, we are delighted to welcome Tali Artman, final year rabbinical student at Leo Beck College.
The idea of redemption has been around since humans had troubles and started suffering, which would make it pretty early on. When we look at the Bible, it is centered around one major event of redemption, the redemption from Egypt, and then a series of smaller events of redemption when we look at the prophets and see that every once in a while, the people do what's bad in the eyes of God, end up in a war that they lose, repent, try to behave better, and once they do that, they find themselves in another battle in which God redeems them from the hands of their enemies. And when we look at the Bible, we find that almost everything that we think about redemption is already there. We have the idea that redemption is something that is assisted by God. We also have the idea that redemption might be something that is mediated by human power or the sword. In other parts of the Bible, we have concepts of redemptions that are completely different, that come at the end of days, that are this wonderful messianic age in which everything is peaceful, and other visions that tell us that before this beautiful messianic moment, there will be a terrible war. So thinking about how our world would end and a new era would start is something that has troubled people, and especially troubled Jewish tradition from the very beginning. The idea of redemption itself suggests that our reality is flawed, that we are suffering, that something is fundamentally wrong, and that we want something to change. When we think about the history of Judaism and the history of the land of Israel as a land that has been conquered and reconquered and then reconquered again, we can think about the Babylonians, the Greek, the Romans, the Arabs, the Crusaders, the Turks, the British. And I'm sure if we dig deep enough, we can find some more people who have conquered the land of Israel at some point of history, more ancient or more modern. It's almost hard to count. Being under threat and being in exile is something that we've learned to think about as a fundamental Jewish experience, but it wasn't always the case. If we think about this biblical narrative in which redemption comes after we sort out our relationship with God and after we repent, and then there will be some form of battle or some sort of decisive moment after which everything will become okay again, does not disappear when the Bible ends. If we look at the first two centuries, especially at the big revolt against Rome from 66 to 70, and then at the revolt of the diaspora, and ultimately at the Bar Kokhba revolt from 132 to 135, we will see that people believe that redemption from the control of Rome, of course, will come through means of war. And enough people believe that for these things to actually happen. The devastating effect of these revolts on the Jewish population, both within the land of Israel and also in the diaspora, especially in Alexandria, were far-reaching. And perhaps if they won the war, our ideas of messianism today would be completely different. But they lost the wars, they lost the rebellions, and lives were lost, and Judaism had to adapt to a new world. And we see that in rabbinic thinking, a new understanding, or rather a renewed interest in different understanding of what redemption is, arises. The rabbis think of redemption and think about the end of days and think about the Messiah, but they think about all of these things as something that will happen one day. When will this one day come? Not only do we not know, it is very dangerous for us to guess. Because those who tell us that the world is about to end normally try to get us to act in ways that are kind of wacky. And wacky is not what the rabbis are interested in. The rabbis are interested in preserving the Jewish population, preserving the Jewish people, preserving the Jewish culture and religion. And for that, the idea that something is about to come to an end and a radical change is about to happen can be more dangerous than war itself. So they come up with this idea of redemption that will come in the end of days. They come up with the next world as, or the world to come as, a concept that offers people comfort and hope that maybe their suffering in this world will pay off somehow after they die. They have a different idea of redemption than the people who lived in biblical times. As we move on in Jewish history, we see that the political and the theological become two major concepts that redemption gets entangled with. And some interesting things are added in the Middle Ages. Thinkers are starting to believe that perhaps the world that we live in is actually not that terrible. And when they imagine the Messianic Age, they imagine a world that is not really far from our world. Actually, it's kind of exactly like our world, only with the bad things removed. And if it's just like our world, then maybe we can influence it. And the idea of people influencing redemption, of influencing the course of history, but not through military action, is something that is very much present in Judaism from the Middle Ages onwards and becomes very fertile. And we can see it operating on different planes and in different levels in modern Jewish denominations and movements. So the Haskalah movement, which is linked to secularism and later to Zionism, is one example. And we can think about the Kabbalah that then later gives birth both to what we know as modern Hasidic movements and other forms of Haredi existence, and see what they do with the idea of redemption and messianism and with the concept of the political and the theological. So Zionism, I think, is especially entertaining because while it pretends not to be a religious movement, it uses a profoundly religious vocabulary. Theodor Herzl was known as the Messiah of Vienna. He styled himself that, and his ideas were basically ideas of redemption. The special thing about Zionism is that instead of hoping to free the Jews and Jewish existence from one particular oppressor, it strived to release the Jewish people from their fate as people who do not have their own land. And the way about it was political, was trying to establish a state. And we all know that that ended up with a war. For many Haredi thinkers, the idea that we can rush redemption and that our human actions can bring about redemption was considered a sin and something that the Jewish people would be punished for. For other religious thinkers, known as religious Zionists, Zionism was a perfect combination of theological ideas about returning to the land, which are embedded in our liturgy and in our theology, and this human action that led people to connect with the ancestral land. Some other people, Kabbalistic views see redemption as something that has nothing to do with politics, but has everything to do with the way that we behave on our everyday life. And there's a bit of a strange coalition or alliance, if you will, between Reform Judaism, Progressive Judaism, and very Kabbalistic thinking. We use words like tikkun olam, which are taken from Kabbalah, because there is something that we share. In very broad terms, some Kabbalistic schools believe that there is an internal strife between good and bad, between good and evil. And every action that we take on earth kind of tilts the balance or the pendulum from bad to good in this giant calculator. And if people do more good things than bad things, then eventually good will triumph. And if people do more bad things than good things, then we all know what's going to happen then. And every little thing that we do actually has an impact. So if you said your morning prayer, if you washed your hands before you ate, if you wore your mask like you should when you go out, if you acted collegially, if you were a good person, then more and more points are added to the good side. However, if you were not so nice and didn't do anything terrible, but also nothing good, if you were terrible, then obviously bad points, and there wouldn't be redemption, but something quite horrible at the end. But it was it's a very powerful idea, because it means that everything that you do as a person has an influence on the entire people of Israel. Now, reform thinking does not think of a messianic figure that appears and goes, ding, and then everything falls into place, but rather that, in a way, we are already living in a messianic age. And since we're already living in a messianic age, it is our human responsibility to make this world a better place. And we do it not just by praying and by being good Jews, but by actually taking actions in this world to improve it for everyone who lives in it. And I think this is the way that Kabbalistic thought and Reform thought are somehow intertwined, with the idea of personal responsibility to bringing about redemption. How do you want to bring about redemption? That is your problem, not mine.
Thank you to student Rabbi Tali Artman. And thank you to Leo Beck College, Reform Judaism and Liberal Judaism for supporting Progressively Jewish. Do join us tomorrow when we're delighted to welcome back Rabbi Tanya Sachnovich of Nottingham Liberal Synagogue.